Okay, we are at the hour, so I would like to call this meeting of the North Adams City Council Community Development Committee to order for Tuesday, July 20th, 2021 at 6 p.m. This meeting is being recorded and will be redistributed online for future viewing, which is actually the reason why we're having this virtually, so that we have a recording to share for folks for informational purposes. Pursuant to Chapter 20 of the Acts of 2021, this meeting will be conducted via remote means. Members of the public who wish to access this meeting may do so by the following manner, accessing the code at the bottom of this agenda. No in-person attendance of members of the public will be permitted, but every effort will be made to ensure that the public can adequately access the proceedings in real time via technological means. In the event that we are unable to do so for reasons of economic hardship and despite best efforts, we will post on the North Adams website or an audio or video recording, transcript, or other comprehensive record of the proceedings as soon as possible after the meeting. So I'm going to just take the roll real quick here. Councillor Sapienza?
Here.
Councillor Lamb is here. Councillor Sweeney is absent. We do have a quorum. So we will move on to our one item of business for this evening, which is an informational review and update on the status of smart growth zoning as it pertains to our work here in the city of North Adams. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Zach Bury from the Community Development Office. And then we will address any questions, concerns, considerations following Zach's presentation. So Zach, go ahead and take it away.
All right, thank you, Councillor Lamb and Councillor Sapienza. Just before I begin, I just want to be certain that you're able to view the screen that I'm sharing.
Yep.
You're good.
All right, perfect. So on the agenda for tonight's meeting is a status update and review of the Smart Growth Zoning Initiative, as well as an overview of revisions to the Smart Growth Zoning Ordinance that were required by the Department of Housing and Community Development, and an identification of next steps and concluding with time for questions and discussion. So on March 16th, of this year, the city submitted its smart growth zoning application to the Department of Housing and Community Development. In response, DHCD issued the city a letter of eligibility on June 28th, 2021, obviously of this year, subject to required revisions to the smart growth zoning ordinance. And I'll elaborate more on this in the minutes to come. But first, I'd like to just provide a brief review of smart growth zoning generally and as it is proposed in North Adams specifically. So smart growth zoning is a land use tool codified in Chapter 40R of the Massachusetts General Laws. The purpose of smart growth zoning is to increase the supply while also decreasing the cost of housing. Smart growth zoning achieves this by increasing the amount of land zoned for high density residential development. Just for example, the minimum density requirement for smart growth development is 20 units per acre, and mixed use smart growth developments must be at least 51% residential. So the smart growth zoning sort of maximizes the efficient use of land for residential purposes. Smart growth zoning also ensures local control over the location, size, appearance, and other characteristics of smart growth developments through local design standards. And lastly, smart growth zoning sets an affordability requirement under which at least 20% of all units in a smart growth development are required to be affordable units. I guess it is, however, important to note here that that affordable housing in the context of smart growth zoning is not the same as Section 8 housing. It is more like workforce housing, because under smart growth zoning, affordable units are dwelling units within a smart growth development, the total housing costs of which are no more than 30% of the monthly income of a family that earns 80% or less of area median family income. So in fiscal year 2020 in North Adams, that 80% or less of area median family income would be $80,900 or less. So I guess as such, smart growth zoning encourages housing that is affordable to those employed as, say, teachers, social workers, and other similarly compensated professions. So as the table shown here demonstrates, in fiscal year 2020, a family of four earning $68,300 a year would have qualified for an affordable unit in a smart growth development with a maximum total housing cost of approximately $1,700 a month. If you can see where my cursor is there. And then as the map shown here demonstrates, the Smart Growth Overlay District comprises parts of the city's downtown area and its eastern gateway. The district is made up of two sub-districts, the Mill District and the Downtown District. And the Mill District begins at 306 Union Street to the east and extends westerly to Eagle Street while incorporating Willow Dell, Canal Street, and a portion of East Main Street. The Downtown District is bounded by Center Street to the north, North Church and Ashland Streets to the east, and American Legion Drive and Marshall Street to the west. The district is designed to encompass underused land within the city center. As a land use analysis demonstrates, 30 acres, which represents just over 37% of the district, is classified as underused. Smart growth developments within the proposed North Adams Smart Growth District, as it's shown here, will be regulated by a zoning ordinance that sets density, affordability, and use requirements. In terms of density, the smart growth ordinance establishes requirements of 20 units per acre minimum and 30 units per acre maximum for multifamily developments across the entire district. It also establishes 12 units per acre minimum and 20 units per acre maximum for townhouses and two and three family developments within the Mill District only, while detached single family homes do not qualify as smart growth developments. Lastly, there is an affordability requirement within the zoning ordinance, which requires between 20% and 60% of all units within the smart growth district, and that's all units within a smart growth development within the smart growth district to be affordable units. The 60% limit on affordable units is really intended as a means to promote and encourage mixed income residential development, being consistent with the Vision 2030 comprehensive plan. Then I guess beyond density requirements, I apologize as it's kind of hard to see on the screen here, but the zoning ordinance also establishes use regulations for smart growth developments. I should note here that the use regulations shown on the screen apply only to smart growth developments, and that the use regulations of the underlying zoning districts remain in effect for all non-smart growth developments. So the smart growth zoning ordinance sets separate use regulations for each subdistrict based on the existing land use and neighborhood character within those two subdistricts. Non-residential uses allowed by the underlying zoning are also allowed in mixed-use smart growth developments in both subdistricts. Additionally, mixed-use developments must be at least 51% and 75% residential to qualify as smart growth developments in the downtown district and the Mill District, respectively. And then I guess I should also note that municipalities that adopt smart growth zoning are provided incentive payments by the Commonwealth based on the number of potential additional units allowed under smart growth zoning. The proposed smart growth district here in North Adams contains a total of 563 incentive or additional units. Accordingly, in the event that the zoning is adopted, the city would receive an incentive payment of $600,000. These are funds that, while made available to the city, provided to the city by the Commonwealth, they are required to be used for capital expenditures, but they do not have to be used within the boundaries of the Smart Growth Overlay District. They can be used anywhere citywide as long as they are for capital expenditures. In addition to the $600,000 incentive payment, the city would also receive an additional $3,000 for each unit built as part of smart growth developments. So as previously mentioned, during its review of the city's application, DHCD and its legal counsel required two substantive changes to the smart growth ordinance. Initially, the proposed ordinance contained language limiting the percentage of affordable units to 60% on a per smart growth development basis, essentially meaning that the total of affordable units within any smart growth development could not exceed 60% of the development's total units. So just as a for instance, a 20-unit smart growth development could not exceed 12 affordable units. It had to have 8 market rate units along with the 12. And the goal of this initial language was to require all smart growth developments to be mixed income. DHCD, however, does not allow this. Instead, DHCD only allows affordable unit limitations on a district-wide basis, meaning that the total number of affordable units within a smart growth district cannot exceed 60% of the district's smart growth units. This revision was made and was also subsequently approved by DHCD. Lastly, the ordinance as submitted to DHCD set minimums for parking without maximums. DHCD requires all smart growth ordinances to establish maximum parking requirements. Accordingly, the ordinance was revised to establish maximum rather than minimum parking requirements. So since DHCD issued its letter of eligibility to the city on June 28th, the city of North Adams is able to advance smart growth zoning through the required local approval process. This process requires a public hearing held jointly by the planning board and the city council. Once the joint public hearing is held and a recommendation by the planning board is submitted to the city council, the smart growth zoning ordinance and map amendments can be voted on by the city council. Accordingly, a joint public hearing on smart growth zoning is planned for Monday, August 9th at 5:15 p.m. From there, the amendments could be brought to city council for a first reading as soon as August 24th. If passed to a second reading, smart growth zoning could be adopted as early as September 14th. It should be noted here that adoption of smart growth zoning now requires only a simple majority vote as opposed to a two-thirds majority vote. In the event that the city council votes to adopt the ordinance and map amendment, the final step is for the planning board to vote to adopt design standards. These are guidelines for the design of smart growth developments. Design standards could be adopted as early as October 11th. So in the event that the zoning ordinance and map amended are adopted by the city council and the design standards by the planning board, the city would then submit an application for final approval to the Commonwealth Department of Housing and Community Development. Upon receipt of final approval, should it be issued, the city would then receive its incentive payment of $600,000. And I guess with that, Councillor Lamb, I'd like to thank you and Councillor Sapienza.
Thank you.
And turn it back over to you to moderate any discussion. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Zach. Yeah, Councillor Sapienza, did you have any questions?
Yeah, just make sure I'm understanding this properly. The smart growth zoning would be an overlay of the existing zones. So if it's like light commercial or what have you, that would be just overlay in that particular district. Is that correct? It doesn't change the existing zoning. It just overlays what's there already.
Yes, essentially, yes. What it does is it essentially creates another option for certain types of development. Overlay districts are used commonly in North Adams, but also throughout the Commonwealth. There are examples of, you know, adaptive reuse overlays, which allow for, you know, different uses, different densities, different dimensional requirements in certain parts of the community, with the caveat that the underlying zoning, whether it's industrial, commercial, residential, or what have you, is still in effect for all other development related projects.
Okay. So it basically gives us another option on areas that would be limited to specific zoning.
Correct.
Okay.
I did have a question, and I know, surprisingly enough, I have a question, even though we've heard about this now for, I don't know, Zach, how long have you been working on this? Like a year?
On a low estimate, yes.
Yeah. But one thing that did come up, and I think this is more based on the DHCD's kind of feedback piece, when you say 60% on the district, and maybe you said this, is that specifically only on smart growth development cap, or is that on the whole district? So if there was affordable housing in that district already that was not smart growth attached, does that count against that 60% cap, or is it only new developments?
Yeah, based on my understanding after several conversations with DHCD staff, the cap is on new smart growth developments. It does not take into account existing developments that have already, you know, been designed and constructed in the whole nine yards.
Okay. So a follow-up to that then, does that essentially create a first come, first serve protocol for folks that may want to go over that cap for a singular development? So, you know, let's say that there's in the particular district, there's 562, and someone decides that they just want to come in and do 60% of that number with affordable housing units in one shot, right? So they would use up every single available affordable housing credit, so to say, within that district, correct? Or would it be possible for someone to come in later and argue against that?
To do that in a single development would be limited by the maximum density requirements. So the ordinance did set a maximum for density at 30 units per acre. To my knowledge, the largest single parcel in the district, and there may be one or two larger, but it's approximately 5 acres. So you'd be looking at the maximum there as being 150 units on that parcel, and that would still leave room for additional units elsewhere in the district. So there is the density requirements do limit that occurrence from happening.
Okay.
To some degree, but I think the essence of your question is sort of true in that the way DHCD structures this affordability limitation, it does create a scenario in which, you know, should a community have 3, 4, 5 development, the units could be chewed up or, you know, implemented fairly quickly and hit the maximum in a more concentrated manner than initially intended. Ideally, we would have been able to, propose the ordinance to council as initially drafted, so that all developments would be mixed income. But unfortunately, for financing reasons, development financing reasons, DHCD does not allow that.
And I do want to emphasize that I appreciate that the objective on your team's side was to try to really emphasize that mixed housing component. Because I think, you know, when you look at kind of the national trends and themes when it comes to actually doing the developments, having mixed housing units is a much healthier for a community versus homogenous modeling.
Yeah.
While I understand the finance piece being taken into account with DHCD, I do want to say that I appreciate you all trying to advocate for a per project cap, because I think that would have been a valuable proposition for future development.
Yeah.
I mean,
Councilor Sapienza, Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say what you're talking about and what we initially intended to do is consistent with the city's Vision 2030 comprehensive plan. And still setting a limit there, we're still requiring mixed income within the district to a degree.
Okay. And one other thing that I just want to put out there for clarification, since it hasn't been said during this meeting, I think a lot of folks might look at the numbers that you gave. If you go back to your slide about median income, and they might say that number is extremely high. And the reality is that we're district in the Pittsfield Metro
Yep.
category, which encompasses a much different a much broader sense of incomes in terms of what's included in that. So that's something that we're beholden to based on just the metro district, not so much what's happening specifically in North Adams. So that can be deceiving, but that does create something of a interesting checks and balances in terms of it, you know, what it's really targeting in terms of what it provides in the affordable housing versus even though it's really workforce housing, like you mentioned, that this is aiming to create. I always feel like that's worth saying just so that it's continually part of the conversation and not forgotten.
No, thank you for clarifying that.
Councillor Sapienza, did you have any other questions, thoughts?
No, I'm still just absorbing all this. I mean, this is all new to me, so I'm absorbing it as we go along here. And it makes pretty good sense. You know, you don't want, like you mentioned earlier, you don't want homogenous, all one type of housing. You want a good mix of housing, affordable, market rate. You know, I think that makes for a good neighborhood. It keeps the neighborhood flexible, so to speak, and I like the idea. The only thing I'm concerned is if, say, for instance, you have an industry or business that wants to come in and locate in one of these areas. I know that the zoning isn't really affected in that area, but what happens if, say, the housing doesn't get developed and we get more commercial or more industry into these particular areas? How is that going to affect this?
It really won't, because uses, so it, like, for instance, in the mill districts, parts of the mill district are zoned industrial. The underlying industrial zoning is still in place. And the whatever sort of business industrial type business wants to locate where they're allowed, they can do that. It removes some land that could be used for residential, but it does not affect the business from being located there. It just simply removes some land from the pool of eligible smart growth developable land.
Right. And another concern is, too, I wouldn't want to see this strangle any potential industrial or commercial growth in the future. I mean, we need to have jobs to be able to, for people to afford this affordable housing. You know, it would be great to be able to develop both at the same time and have areas where you have small commercial businesses or small industrial businesses and people live in the neighborhood where they work. I mean, that would be an excellent balance for people, especially in this area.
And that was sort of the thinking behind, the mixed use allowances, whereby, you know, you could have a commercial development at the ground floor level, perhaps a light industrial development within the mill district, with some residential development on the above ground floor levels, just to maximize the use of land and sort of meet known housing needs that exist here in North Adams.
I think also just, you know, important to note, and I know Councillor Sapienza that you're fairly new to these conversations specifically, but we have discussed in the past, you know, downtown in particular is going to thrive if there's more people living there. Main Street is not historically targeted to be a manufacturing location,
right,
or anything like that. Right. Additionally, we also know that there is a massive number of unfilled jobs in North Adams currently. So there is no lack of employment right now. Right. That is actually a kind of it's a line that I think we hear a lot, that we need more jobs. But ultimately, we need more people here in order to fill the jobs that are available, or reskilling to get people into a space where they can fill the jobs that exist. And I think we're going to see, you know, this doesn't, in my mind at all, actually strangle any opportunity of commercial growth. In fact, it provides opportunities to bring people in so that those commercial developments can actually scale to where the market wants them to be. We have a number of employers in the region that cannot scale because they cannot find people. And those people cannot find housing here, because as Zach's office did last year, they did a housing study, and I'm probably going to misquote it, but I think there was around 1,300 units that we need in North Adams in order to meet the housing demand. There's a lot of layers to that. And I think it's just important to know, like, this is an opt-in piece, right? So the smart growth is not, You're not mandating smart growth happen. It's an allowable facet when you put the overlay in. Okay. So if the market speaks to, hey, new light industrial wants to come in into the district that it belongs without spot zoning, because we're not going to do that. If they want to come into an area that's already zoned industrial for them, the market can call for that and they can do that. And that's not going to be superseded by this overlay that we're putting in. So it's a formula, right? There's a lot of moving pieces. And ultimately, the free market is going to dictate, you know, who comes in commercially. But the, you know, free market also demands housing for the employees that they want to have within their operation. And we don't have that housing right now.
Right, right. And thus the name, Smart Zone. I can't speak tonight. Smart Growth Zoning. And then my own company, we're looking for help still. And it's just, there's nobody out there. And all my customers I've talked to is, you know, anybody that's looking for a job, we need somebody. And they're just, the people aren't out there to find right now.
We need good looking, affordable housing, market rate housing for them to come into so that they can find this place and make it their own, for sure.
Yep.
Any other questions before I open it up to the public attendees? Okay, I see that we do have one person on the attendee side. Tammy, did you have anything you want to say? If you raise your hand, any questions you have? I'm not seeing a little yellow hand. So any final questions on the counselor side of things?
No, I think pretty straightforward.
It's scary when things are straightforward, though. That's the So Zach, thank you for the kind of the informational piece. I want to try to get this recording up as soon as possible so it can be redistributed for folks that weren't able to attend tonight. Because I think this is kind of an informational piece that will certainly play into the August 9th public hearing so that folks can come with informed questions for that meeting. But is there anything else that you need from this committee in the interim before getting to that August 9th point?
No, I think just at this point, it's really, you know, at this point this evening, it's really just a matter of just saying thank you for allowing the time to come to discuss this with you, and, you know, make people aware that smart growth zoning, where we are in the status of smart growth zoning currently.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all the work that you put into this over the long term.
Yes, definitely.
And no small feat of strength and dedication, I guess is the phrase. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, counselor.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Any other business from any of the counselors?
Not at this point.
Okay. Hearing none, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
I'll make a motion.
I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Good night.